talking to municipalities, and how are these municipalities made to account to local government departments? And the communication part, I've discussed notices when we're drinking tea there. The language used, are you in a position of using all languages according to geographic areas that we're having? And lastly, in Chapter 9 institutions, like for instance the Human Rights Commission, when dealing, I've cited the eviction issue, and there are many issues, the abuse issues. Human Rights Commission, what is your relationship with them? Because I think in my view, they should be closer to you, because they deal mostly with things that relate to women in particular, children and so forth, especially when you talk about abuse. How do you? And I'm totally against this thing of putting them together. I don't want to put together a women's commission and this one together. But the working relationship, how do you go about that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to follow up on the gender focal point. And with the agreement of the rest of the committee, I'd like to suggest that once our colleagues have got the information from the Eastern Cape, that we have a further breakdown of, in fact, at what level these gender focal points, or whatever they are called in the provinces, at what level they are based, you know, are they appointed, so that we know what kind of authority they have. And where they are not just a gender focal point, how many other special programs do they have to accommodate, you know, in their jobs? So if you know just sort of how much time they have to spend. So if you agree, Chair, that's what I would like to suggest. And I also would like to say that, in fact, this whole situation with the Premier's office in Gauteng has gone on for long enough now. And, you know, I don't believe... It's not only Gauteng. The other provinces that haven't appointed the OSW in the Premier's office. In fact, I don't believe that we're actually... complying then with our national gender machinery, in terms of which every Premier's officer is supposed to have somebody, you know, an OSW. So I really think that I'd like the committee, again with the agreement of my colleagues, to write to the Deputy Minister of Local Government and ask for her assistance in this matter, and what actually are we doing to make sure that we comply. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Temple, it's not only housing. Who have been screaming loud here in the Western Cape, unheard. You know, so it's not only the Gauteng province that has that problem. Really, we know that local government is something that is the next of our heart as women, because that is what is affecting us. When there's no food at home, a mother. When there's no light, a mother. When there is no water, a mother. So that is what is very important about local government. So that is why also it's very important to see to it that these gender focal points are focusing on our women down there. They do something about the plight of our communities. There is this problem in KZN. There is that massacre, I don't know what is it, that is happening, of those women that are being killed. Did you investigate? Or what is that all about? Is that thing has to do with rape? Or is something has to do with umuthi? Or what? I think if you have not done that, we would like you to also participate in terms of that gender focal point of that province, to take part in terms of investigating exactly what is going on in that case at end. And also, whilst you will be answering us, if also you can explain to us in terms of the race in our municipalities, in management, we have white, if there is white men, how many colored, how many, and us, and black, and also the categories that we have in our provinces. So also, I think we would like to highlight on this. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. On the question of whether the budget, municipality's budget, actually talk to women's issues, I would say generally no. And we're hoping that once we start the discussions and the capacity building around mainstreaming, that will be addressed. And the mainstreaming would also address issues of gender budgeting. How then do we budget such that we respond to those issues that affect women? But I would say generally no. Now, with regard to how municipalities account for their use of funds, there, I would say that if we do have within DLG a unit that works with them, but the focus of that unit is to assist them in terms of managing the funds and then being able to report adequately so that the statements, they do not get a qualified statement, you know, manage their funds accordingly. But when it comes to reporting, I think that's handled by Treasury. So my colleague will assist me on this one, and I'm not really clear about that, but I would guess that Treasury would be the one handling it. And with regard to our working with the Chapter 9 institutions, I think that's very, that's a very interesting question. We have been working with the Commission on Gender Equality. They always participate and present in our conferences. Mm-hmm. However, we have not worked with the Commission, with the Human Rights Commission. Mm-hmm. And we've been thinking about it. Maybe it's going to be interesting to honorable members here that what we have found in our provincial engagements in these two provinces is that they have decided to adopt a human rights approach to addressing issues of gender inequality. The Western Cape is one of those. And that is one of the reasons that they are giving for not having a gender focal point in the province, in the office of the premier. They say that if you have a focal person for whatever, the gender, the people with disabilities, then you somehow leave out other vulnerable groups. Whereas if you use a human rights approach, you ensure that every single person, every single citizen enjoys the rights that are guaranteed them by the Constitution. So you become too narrow. That's the argument. And you're like, okay, let's think about that. anyway, we are thinking about it in terms of We still feel that despite having that broader human rights perspective, it's still important to have that they're going to push for each specific group. Because then you might get lost again. Because it's like generalizing. When we're all human, we're all people, so we're all equal, we all have rights. Whereas there's still ingrained historical inequalities that we need to deal with before we reach equality, and we're all starting from the same point. So, I think we've learned something that in that question, and it's something that we're going to pursue actually establishing relations with the Human Rights Human Rights Commission. And I think the other one was a comment on gender focal points and the recommendation that we do a further breakdown on the level. Maybe we might share with the committee that, well, what we're finding is that, that's a challenge almost everywhere, except in KZN, the premier's office, they've got general managers. They've got a general, they also, that's like a Western Cape, they have also adopted the human rights agenda. I mean, the human rights perspective or approach. However, they are different in that they still have focal points within each one of these, even though broadly the unit within the Premier's office that addresses these issues is called the human rights and the general manager for human rights, but they are still a gender focal person there. So, and I think that model works best because then even though women's disempowerment and is looked within the context of human rights, which is good, but still there's someone who's ensuring that, you know, these issues are actually driven and they are actually, they receive the significance that they deserve, because then, you know, they could be diluted or get lost in the broader human rights category. And then the question about whether we've followed up on the KZN killings around Mzinzo with women corpses being found. We have not. We have not followed up on that. However, maybe if members would remember, there was another issue quite recently where a woman who was wearing pants, also in KwaZulu-Natal, was harassed and undressed and beaten up and made to march naked in the street. With regard to that one, I know that the women, the gender machinery in KwaZulu-Natal, including the Premier's office, took that up and actually marched there. They organized, the court themselves organized and marched to the area to in protest and to really register that this is something that wasn't going to be tolerated. So I haven't spoken, and I did speak to someone there recently, but we didn't talk about what they did about this. So we are going to be following up on that one. And with regard to disaggregation according to race in municipalities and provinces, I'm sure that the units in the department that deals with the local government administration, and they do look at those things. I'm sure the statistics are there. It's just that we do not have it with us, so we are not in a position to share those, but I'm sure we have that information. The department has that information. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you able to give the training from all the languages?
On the issue of language, that's an issue that we are really concerned with. It doesn't happen all of the time, but if we are engaging with communities, they are free to use whatever language, so there's translation there. But in terms of because we're still in the process of developing this framework or this guideline for municipalities, so we haven't started actually engaging with them at that level. But what we're doing even with those frameworks, we are working on translating them. For example, the HIV/AIDS one, which was launched in April this year, we already have a shortened version of the key guidelines in all, in at least, was translated into eight languages. They are not out there yet. The translations have been done, but it's not printed there. So what I'm trying to say is that we're aware that if we're working with communities, we have to speak their language. I mean, there's no point. So sometimes the process of actually delivering products that are speaking in people's languages is kind of slower. But in our engagement, yes, we acknowledge that people should be free to use their own mother tongues, and we encourage that. And if necessary, then translations are done.
Thank you.
Nothing
on this
time.
But I'm just worried about interpretations of other things. For example, when we talk about access to housing and the right to, and more figure about it as me, Umama naga raised in the language. Because people interpret that as the same, it's one thing, so it's not the same. Just like antiretrovirals. Maybe others, they will say access to antiretrovirals, but there's a right and access to two different things. So how do you interpret such things? Bengiti angi, ang misi pa ang regalen na 16 days and 365 days. It seems you are more active during this time of the year. And you come here with a nice poetry, and then we clap hands, that is a good thing that you're looking at the rights of women and children. But we are worried because things, very bad things happen outside, and I wonder if the message is thoroughly taken through to those perpetrators. Even women are perpetrators. Because my worry is that it seems they are looking at men as perpetrators. Yes. I was looking at this, the aim to do women empowerment, but the principle underpinning the framework, it talks about gender equity, both men and previously disadvantaged persons. But it seems to other people outside, it seems this is only for women. So that's why you find men must. We must find a way to encompass everyone. And so how do we reflect on our failures? How do we then go back to the introspection to say we have failed 1, 2, 3? Do we go back or do we wait for another October, November to say we've done 1, 2, 3? Because this needs it should be an ongoing thing. And we should stop working in silos. These departments in Zalo, there's no impact. Tomorrow the figure, and now I'm confused. Gender focal points, OSW, social development, you are a concern group from somewhere, yabo, mom. It's worrisome. So we just have one entity seven analysis. Get gender, pro gender. You see, I'm a man today in this room. Because men want to come, but I feel like it's normal. This thing is not for us. That's a picture that's painted. The language is different style. That's why we have to discern between into the issue, that we can, in this book today, it's interpreted in so. We say you have access to something and the right to. We can say that an access to housing and a child has a right to a house. They are two different things. So we need to ensure go deeper in those things. Have legal people who will ensure that by interpreter correctly. Thank you.
Can I have one last point for
them? Sorry for that. I don't even know how to start it. You know, there's this act or bill that is has been passed by NCOP. The 12-year-olds being given access to termination of pregnancy and so on. I don't know it quite well. But my argument is as this particular door and other departments like health, education and so forth, has there been a study done to check what do you instill in a child's mind when you say go and get condoms? How does it affect the child? What will be the outcome? The child is 12 years old. Ngona Puma Tinangasindebele is in Pumam Lord. Ngwanyana just Mana Mabele. I've got two grandchildren in Salana Wale Akesha Park. They are beautiful. They are becoming 13 years. Now, I ask myself a question. What am I saying to them? I know that you might not be able to answer this, but I'm saying, let's all go and sit down and say, and do, I don't know whether to call it a qualitative research or what kind of research, to say what damage are we causing to these children? What is it that is going to happen? Mm-hmm. No, let me leave it at that.
Is there any contribution you think you can make in terms of
a closing remark?
Chairperson, I don't want the honourable members to leave this house thinking that there is nothing happening. I just want to say that in the context of the presentation, we couldn't put everything that is happening on the ground onto this presentation because it would take us the whole day. I just want the members to know that there are initiatives taking place on the ground. Some are not necessarily done by the focal points that you've asked us to talk about here. Some are undertaken by women mayors on the ground. I'll give you an example of Dendron in Limpopo. Dendron in Limpopo, where the local woman mayor ensured that the ward committees are actually representative of the women's issues and have formed what they call women's council that is part of the ward committees that they have in the district. And these ward committees represent each village, and the information cascades from the municipality to every locality, and they meet on a regular basis, and they know what is happening around them. They have access to information. They communicate directly with their municipalities. And we have asked that mayor during our Women in Local Government conference to come and share with other mayors the best practices, because we thought that it's good that women are accessing information around what is happening in their locality, the kind of opportunities that they are there, and they also have access to access skills development where it's possible. So I just want you not to leave this house thinking that nothing is happening. The ordinary women on the ground in the villages communicating with their representatives, political representatives, and knowing what is going on in their localities. And those are the kinds of things that we should celebrate as a country. I'm not saying they are enough. I know we are not doing enough, but those are the kinds of things that we need to celebrate. And on the question of budget, Chairperson, I just want to say that there are provinces that have already taken initiatives to ensure that there is gender-sensitive budgeting in the provinces. The Western Cape have agreed that in the next review of their IDPs, they are going to request the MEC for local government not to actually approve the IDP if it doesn't have a chapter on vulnerable groups and how that chapter is taken into planning and budgeting within the IDP of the district in that province. So I think those are the little steps that we really must celebrate as we do this work, because it can be very discouraging at times when we do this work and we don't actually see the fruits of your labor. In terms of the reporting system, I think one of the honorable members asked how we are doing in terms of reporting, and the Municipal Systems Act actually requires all municipalities to submit annual plans, and these plans are supposed to annual reports, and these reports are actually supposed to indicate how they've managed their budgets and all that. And the department is working to ensure compliance to the Municipal Systems Act. And in terms of focal points and the level at which they are, we don't seem to have problems with the district municipalities. We find that in districts, the special programs persons are actually managers. They sit in councils. We have a lot of problems with the local municipalities where we find that they are responsible for a lot of things. And some of them call themselves cocktail managers or smarties or whatever. So general dealers and all that. And they are responsible for gender, children, elderly and all this, and they are pulled from all directions, and their voices are actually not heard in the council in most instances. And I just want to say in conclusion, we are hoping that our engagement this morning with the honourable members will actually assist us in a way that we will get support from the members, because I know the members go around the provinces also finding out what is going on, that you've heard what we have said, and then the members will, as we go around the provinces, also assist us in actually advocating for more collaborative engagements and for implementations of these policies, because I believe we have wonderful policies here in our country, and we just need to implement. And on the question of asking our Deputy Minister to actually ensure that the housing issue is resolved, I do think that the presidency would be the appropriate channel, because it's the presidency that is responsible, that is coordinating offices on the status of women in the province and in the country. Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you very much. We thank you for coming and do this presentation to us. We are hoping that you have learned a lot. And also as this committee, we have a responsibility of doing the oversight. We'll go to these provinces and see exactly what you have told us, if they are implementing it. You can really make beautiful policies. At the end of the day, the problem is to implement. And we know that gender is not about women.
No.
It's about men and women. But it will always look as if it's women's issue, because women are most vulnerable groups. That is why at all times that the case is about the inequality, this thing is the women's issue. It is not about that. But it's just that women have been disadvantaged for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
So we want then, what we are looking at now, we always want to bridge that gap, because there is a big gap between us and them. We are trying to close that us and them. We want it, that it must be us. We don't want to see them. We want us, all of us.
All of us.
Yeah. Yeah. So with those few words, thank you very much. They have sense of
okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.